This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Good evening and welcome to Season 2 of the Riot Act Rugby Review Podcast. Tonight we have John Boy.
Hello.
Nick.
Hello.
And Rob, myself.
And we are live in all bar none, Canberra's rugbiest rugby bar in O'Connor.
In O'Connor. Yes. And right now we're watching the game in the fog. Last year's grand final. It's the atmosphere you get. But anyway, let's start off with what we think of what's going to be happening this week.
It's rugby. This week, we're going to do the teams.
We're going to do the teams.
We're going to do the teams.
All right. Yeah.
So that's why, starting with New Zealand, 22 All Blacks out of it.
Thank you. Cheers.
22 All Blacks missing for the first 7 rounds. So every New Zealand...
There were 7 or 8?
I think it was the first 7.
A number of rounds.
Yes.
And so that's going to really underpower the New Zealand teams in the World Cup. I don't think it's going to do them any favours in the World Cup either. Underpower them in the Super 14. Do them no favours in the World Cup. I think they need more rugby, not less.
But which players are actually going to be missing is the question I'm asking.
It's the probable All Black 22. It's going to be a big deal for them. But so we move down the teams. Auckland, another season with the Noose.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any feelings about how they're going to do?
Well, it's got to be better than last year, which was pretty abysmal. Let's face it.
It was. Do you think? Why didn't they start with the Noose?
Probably he's on contract.
and the ass when he won a premiership.
Well, probably they're waiting till he wins one, and then they get rid of him.
Hmm. What wins a premiership?
Yes.
That'd be ironic, wouldn't it? That'd be a hell of a season.
Well, so, I think it'd be terribly unfair as well.
So, we have no thoughts on Auckland at all then.
I'm wondering who they're missing.
Well,
first day.
I suppose you can have a look. I personally think Auckland's one of those teams that's always in contention. Now, okay, they turned up 8 last year, but they were playing under their ability, I think, for the vast majority of the season.
Auckland have been playing under their ability for the best part of a decade now, since they won the first couple of
besides the brilliance of Carlos Spencer when he was here, he's now gone.
He is magical.
On his game, at times, but not always. And he's gone now.
He could be as good for the opposition as he was for the team he played for, but Carlos is gone.
That's no different to a Campese or even a Matt Rogers.
No, that's correct. That's correct. Moving on, who's our next Kiwi team?
Chiefs.
They apparently won the New Zealand Provincial Championship last season.
And so, they're first up for the Brumbies, aren't they, this year?
Yeah. And
they've always been a bit of a giant killer, the Chiefs. Luckily enough, the Brumbies have always done very well against them.
But so with the Kiwi All Black players out, the Chiefs... second tier players really start to look like first tier players.
Well, that's something that
for the competition
you've been saying, and several other people have been saying for quite some time now, that the New Zealand second or third 11 are as good as any other team's first 11 in the world.
Or 15.
I knew what I meant. I've been watching a lot of cricket recently.
Well, it is that time of year. Soon it will be rugby.
True.
So Chiefs is possible top 4 finishers, you reckon?
Definitely. The Chiefs are always contenders. They'll scrape in. They won't be strong performers, but they'll always be up there, and they've got the ability to knock over anybody at any time.
So top 4 or top half?
Top 4.
I'm going to go top half.
Okay.
I think they've got the potential to be there, but there are some other very good teams that
I think
probably
with the pressure on, they'll crumple myself. I think they've always enjoyed being no one expecting too much and win the odd game, and that made them happy. And I don't think they'll like being front runners. Crusaders, same old.
They'll win.
Well, that's the question. I mean, with their top players, and let's face it, they are a lot of the All Blacks. Their top players out for the first 8 rounds, 7 rounds. Mm. What's going to happen to them? No Richie McCaw, I'm guessing no Chris Jack.
The Crusaders have always finished well, and having their...
this is true. And unfortunately, the Brumbies will be playing them at the end of the season as well. It's a real bugger.
Yeah. Also, the Australian teams have not quite been as harsh with their resting policy for the World Cup. They're also doing something similar in regards to restricting game time.
Restricting training and things like that, yeah.
I personally think that with the players coming back at the right end of the season for a team like the Crusaders, which will probably do quite well at the beginning of the season anyway, it's not going to affect them too much. I think they'll still take out the championship. It's like, it's a big call to say this early and like before the season even starts, but
I think they're a top four myself.
Yep. Oh, they're always contenders. But I feel they're not going to win this season. It's going to be Brumbies all the way.
Yeah, but we're all one-eyed Brumbies supporters.
Some more than others. Yes. Highlanders.
Highlanders. Well, there's not much really to say about these guys.
I love the Highlanders.
Where they come from, it's cold. Yeah. And when they're playing in the heat, they don't usually do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And when other people go...
And when the Super 14 starts very early, I mean, for God's sake, this is the 31st of January, we're recording this, the first match of the season.
It's going to be 40 degrees in Perth, I'm sure, on Saturday night. It's not going to be fun for them.
Well, we saw how the Kiwis coped in the cricket.
Yeah, their players were all cramping up in the first game, so can you imagine what's going to happen to rugby players?
Like we saw with the Reds last year, the first three games, they had all their players...
That was weird with the Reds, because they trained in the damn heat.
Yes. Well, I wonder if we'll see it again.
Yeah.
Under Eddie Jones.
Yeah. I think Eddie's preparation will be more meticulous myself. But,
Hurricanes.
They looked really good towards the end of last season.
Again, it's going to be depending on who they're going to be missing.
True. I mean, Umaga's not... He isn't eligible for All Black selection anymore. That's very handy for him. He timed that well for the team, didn't he?
Oh, he's also timed it well for his body.
Yeah.
He's going to miss out on the World Cup, but I'm sure he doesn't mind too much.
Yeah, I don't know. Hurricanes didn't do that well against the Brumbies at Bruce, and the Brumbies are notoriously poor pre-season.
But we're only one team out of the entire
division. So I think... I think top half. I don't think they can do any better than that.
No, same. I think they reached their peak last year, and they're not going to do as well this year.
Who's next?
That's it for New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go across to South Africa with the Bulls. Now, I think they're always going to be the top contenders in my mind for the South African teams, just because when you play them, you're playing in altitude, and they hit really hard.
They are big boys.
But... they slept a tour. And if they can't do well on tour, they're never going to get the home finals.
No.
I don't have any stats in front of me, but my feeling is it's got to be a toss-up between the Bulls and the Sharks as to which ones toured the best out of the South African teams.
Only last season, the Bulls had a really good tour by their standards last year. And he inserted the Stormers, so...
The Stormers don't play as well at home. I think the Bulls are probably... they'll be pushing for that number four spot.
Yeah, Bulls are talking up their back line this season as well, which, I mean, South Africans, they always talk up any old bollocks.
I was about to say, but are they actually going to give the ball to the back line except for kicking for goal?
Yeah, well...
unlikely.
Yeah, we wouldn't trust those black men with the ball anyway, would you? They might steal it.
Are they still full of...
I'm mocking them saying it.
Are they still full of... I suppose the PC term would be more experienced forwards. Like, are the old men still up front?
No, the old men are more with the Cheetahs.
The Cheetahs are which we'll get onto now, because let's face it, they're the winning team from the South African Curry Cup.
Well, even though they did quite appallingly last year in the Super 14.
No, they didn't do that badly, I thought. Well, for debut season as well.
True, but they came at they were 12th, or what was their position last year?
Yeah, but they won a lot of games.
They came close in a lot of games. I think their actual win-loss ratio wasn't that flash. What did they come? They came 10th last year.
Yeah.
But it was their first season.
Maybe
better than the Force.
I actually found the Force...
Everyone did better than the Force.
I know, but I found the Cheetahs and the Force actually exciting to watch. Now, there was big holes in their defence and they weren't able to...
No, I disagree. The game against between the Force and the Cheetahs was the most boring game.
Not against each other, but against some of the other opposition. I really enjoyed watching them.
It was the dullest game of the season.
Maybe that was the Cats and the Force. I can't remember which one was the one.
That was the Cheetahs, of course. That was dull ball.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Force in due course. I think the Cheetahs suffered from having their forwards being too old and big last season. I'm sure it worked to their advantage in some situations, but they fell off at the end of games. Same forwards, older, no less big.
What about their backs?
And Oz Durant coming out for his 100th game this week.
Yeah.
Well, good on him.
Good on Big Oz, but I don't know if the Cheetahs are going to move forward this season.
We'll see.
Okay. That's unknown.
The Lions. This the is Lions. The renamed sort of would-be Cats.
Having screwed the Southern Spheres, who yes. had qualified for the tournament.
Okay, so are they an amalgamation of the teams?
No,
what,
they're
what's
not.
Going on here?
Southern Spheres qualified because they're a black team.
Now, when you say a black team, are they run by an independent management? Are they like higher percentage?
They were almost exclusively drawn from black players in South Africa. They're a black team. They won the qualifying competition. They won the playoff against the Cats.
I remember that last year, yeah.
They should have qualified, and then because they don't have the sort of money the other teams have got, they got told, oh, sorry, your facilities aren't up to scratch. Shown the door, the Cats get another chance.
So they got screwed.
But renamed the Lions.
Renamed the Lions to try and shed their ignominious past. And
Even though the stats are all basing themselves on the Cats' history.
Yeah, which you'd have thought they'd want to get rid of. They'd bring the Spheres in alone. I mean, I don't see them being anything less than the easy beats they always were.
Same.
Except at home to a touring team who's on their first week of tour.
So it's not the South African Tigers?
No.
No, not the South African Tigers.
No, that's a Brumby invention.
I know. I was having a think.
Okay. The Sharks. Sometimes a bit of a contender, but
I enjoy watching them.
I enjoy watching the Stormers and the Sharks games because that's where they go out and they beat the crap out of each other.
And especially, we can't be disappointed when there's injuries and like a South
especially
African
those
derby.
Big blonde open side flankers just running head first to each other, smashing into each other.
I'm starting to worry about your sexuality there, Rob.
I'm not worried.
Vents it in this arena. I don't know why you'd be worried about it anyway. You could give him a big hug if you. That way inclined. John Smith, captaining the Sharks, too old, too slow, too stupid, should have retired years ago.
Probably. Yeah. People have been saying the same about Gregan.
Yeah, but Gregan isn't as fat. Gregan's in great shape, he's been doing a lot of Pilates apparently.
Well, 2-3 years ago, didn't come out, some sports scientist at the AIS saying that Gregan had more strength for weight than any other athlete in Australia?
That's because he shaves his head.
That's not a big difference.
Yes, if he went back to the afro, I've heard he'd probably lose that weight to strength ratio.
I've heard it's an all over shave as well.
And quite honestly, all our mothers love Gregan. Or would love to love Gregan.
Yes, they'd love to love Gregan.
Right, lastly, the Stormers. Any thoughts on the boys from Cape Town?
The South Africa's flash kits, but that makes them still pretty unflash, doesn't it?
Well, but they do have the Cape Town advantage of...
Because
any team that's visiting Cape Town usually goes out and piss the night before, stuffs up a few players, somebody gets left behind.
Taxi driver.
Somebody gets left behind, and it all goes wrong. So it's not the town to tour for. So it's the bright lights of Cape Town can disadvantage some teams.
Can we really say any team? Now, I know the Brumbies have fallen into this trap a few times.
Lots of other teams have fallen into the Cape Town trap. The Waratahs did on their last tour?
I'm sure some of the Reds players must have, but that wouldn't make any difference to the result whatsoever.
But Cape Town and Sydney are the two glamour cities of the...
not Auckland.
No,
not Waikato either.
You mean Hamilton? Or even the Cargill?
No.
All right, I think we'll take a break now. We'll play a song, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yesterday's face is always on my mind. Yesterday's faces I can never find. Lonely empty shoes walking down the street. Morning haze.
we're back and onto the Australian teams. So, the Force.
They're from Perth.
They're from Perth. And they've got Drew Mitchell now, who I've always thought was a useless waste of space.
And the Git.
And the Git, who's a slightly more useful treacherous bastard.
Very rich treacherous bastard.
Mm. Most treacherous bastards are.
I really don't think it's the backs that are going to make the difference for the Force. I think
they had great forwards last year. It was the lack of backline execution that won it for them. They've got Giddo, who's going to try much better with Hendrak than anyone did. I mean, they've got Hilgendorf.
But also, as you just stated, they've got Giddo and Hendrak together now, and they're probably going to mesh together a lot better than Hendrak was trying to cope by himself.
Mm.
These guys have got a lot of experience together.
I've got to say, with the way Hilgendorf played the end of last season, I'd be tempted to play Giddo inside centre, not quite half myself.
Wasn't the Giddo... Didn't he have some sort of aspirations to remain at the inside centre?
Maybe even halfback, as John Colley played him over the spring tour.
Yeah, John Mitchell said he's not keen on that idea at all. You're not paying Hendrak when he's paying Hendrak, have you, playing
halfback? Well, it probably would do better for the Force, but, you know, that's money down the drain.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's down the drain. I think Hendrak will have a better season.
Do you think he's going to get a haircut and actually do some work?
I think he's spent some time in the room of mirrors, and
So you think he might actually get a haircut?
I think, especially with his best buddy Giddo there to kick his bum.
I just want to bring up a point that you just mentioned there. Spent some time in the room of mirrors.
Mm.
I read an article a couple of weeks back about Australia's obsession with fitness over skill. Now, I know fitness can be measured and skill really can't.
That's why they go for fitness rather than skill. Yep.
But I think that really they should perhaps be doing, or perhaps not be putting so much focus on how strong someone is, what their endurance is, and all that sort of stuff. Now, I'm sure it makes a difference as the survivability of a player over the season or
yes
their
and
strength
no.
in a game.
Yes and no. I mean, the people who are absolutely amped up to the end tend to be a lot more fragile than people who are perhaps less tuned.
Mm.
So in terms of sheer durability, your pub prop forward who turns out every week in beer drinking leagues to play a whole season without an injury, whereas someone who's spending every week, every moment in the gym is going to break when they run into someone.
Yeah.
I think the only place you really need that fine skill is kicking. Once you've got that, you've got 3 points on the board every time.
I don't know.
And it's something Australia has been lacking in, whereas the other, South Africa and New Zealand have always had a very good option.
In my professional era,
there
is no excuse for poor goal kicking by the designated goal kicker. Mm.
I disagree with you there, Rob. I really think that skill in ball handling and more so inspiration, the ability to be spontaneous. Australia has, I think, taken a backward step in its national team.
Because it's playing formulaic football,
exactly.
Whereby they're playing the they're playing because we're 80%, we can play at 80% of whatever we do. Therefore, we're going to beat any team that comes in a way, except for those who can get the breaks and have things go well for them.
It's a very narrow percentage game we've been playing, and the reason the New Zealand teams dominated last year, and the All Blacks did the same thing, is they were offloading out of nearly every tackle. They weren't saying, I'll go to ground and hope forwards can roll all over me and we'll get the ball back after the opposition's had time to set their defence. They were offloading out of every possible opportunity. And that isn't necessarily, that isn't a skill versus fitness argument, that's a assessment of risk. They were willing to take more risks at the initial breakdown to take less risks over the whole of the game.
But to be able to take those risks, you've got to be able to back yourself and be able to make decisions on the fly.
Yeah.
And I think the younger players in Australia haven't got that ability. And I'm not sure if they will with the way they're training at
the moment. Is the way New Zealand was playing last year, especially the Crusaders, the team who brought it forward, is it going to be a case of that was the first year it happened, so nobody knew how to deal with it, and this year everybody knows what's going on, therefore they're going to have
defenses,
counters for it.
Defences will have
and it's just like,
counters.
Just like the Brumbies had in 2000, they were playing a different game to everybody else, and then suddenly come the grand final, the
they
Crusaders.
Yeah.
Which is brings us back to the Force in having John Mitchell, their coach.
Yeah.
A Kiwi coach, the first Kiwi coach we've actually had in an Australian provincial team.
Yeah.
I think that his vision is probably a bit different than the other Australian coaches we've got at the moment, and may make a difference, perhaps not in this season, but over a couple of seasons. Especially...
This is the season we're worried about, so...
I know, but if you look at the foundation attitude that various teams had as the Super 12 was put together, that carried through from season to season, I think it's going to make a big difference to the Force this year and over the next.
Here's the big question. Force, will they win more than one game this season?
Yes.
Yes.
Will they win enough to make it into the top half of the competition?
Yes.
No. Yes. No. Close?
I think it's... Okay, maybe close.
Do you think they're wooden spoons again?
No. I think the Reds have got that wrapped up.
Okay. Oh, we're so proud. Yeah.
Even with Eddie Jones coaching.
Weren't you born in Queensland?
What? No. Canberra born and bred, baby.
Okay, let's move on from the Force then. Who's next?
Right. Well, it'd have to be Queensland, surely.
It's the Reds. Go the Koalas.
Force, they could lose so many players in this off-season.
And still look better than they were the
having
last...
Having lost so many in the last off-season.
But I think they look better this night, despite the fact that I'm still predicting Wooden Spooners for them. I think they look better this season than they did last.
I don't know. Rodney Blake, the international tour, did him no favours at all. He came back a shadow of the player he was when he was selected.
Yep, he went out there, he played 20 minutes of good rugby, and that was it, besides one or two games. And whereas with Queensland, he was playing 80 minutes of...
sensational rugby. He was a dominant force, and he just evaporated against Northern Hemisphere props.
Maybe he's the pub-drinking forward who he only plays during the one season rather than walking through the year. I don't know.
Well, no.
I don't want to tar him. I think...
Well, knowing that both of you have got a slight bias against good old Rugby League, what do you think of the purchase of Exactly.
He was a very union-style player here for the Raiders.
Well, he was a union union background.
He's got a very good kicking game. He's got quite an incisive running game. I think given the rest of the state of the team, he'll be a star for them this year.
But then again, that's probably not going to be very hard.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Barnes at age 20 now is going to be one of their absolute key men. And,
so you think the Reds are not only perhaps lacking ability, but also lacking leadership?
Oh, absolutely lacking leadership. I mean, they've still got Croft and... I mean, they've got a reasonable pack of forwards if Blake and Holmes can recover what they lost in the off-season.
Always like Croft with the bald head and charging forward. I've always thought he's a good little mongrel player.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of leadership in Queensland, do you think that their chances would have been any better if Scruff hadn't sustained his injury?
If they still had the best fullback in the world, then their chances
would have made much of a difference in their ultimate standing in the ladder?
I don't think so.
No. If he can't play the game by himself. Yeah. As we saw last year.
Scruff, I mean...
We're talking about
Chris Latham.
Yeah. For those who don't know our acronym.
And who's... Anyone who's ever watched him has ever seen his socks pulled up in his life.
Yes. Yeah. Or shaven on that day or within the last 3 days. So that's what we're calling Scruffy.
Rugby's a 15-man game, and I think for any player to be able to say he influenced the outcome of one game this season is to say they're a truly stellar talent. But I think that's all you can say about Latham is that he would influence the course of one game in the season and contribute to the others very effectively because he is a great player. So I think him being there or not there is one win's difference.
Now, does anyone know if he's going to, during his recovery, take on any sort of motivational or coaching role with the Reds?
I don't think he'd be the best player for it. I mean, guys with freakish talent like that, they haven't got much to contribute. I mean, someone like John Rowe, who's got where they have just through sheer perseverance and hard work. They're your motivational guys. Somebody goes out and says, I'll just chuck the footy around and have fun. Isn't going to be that constructive a help for the rest of the team, in my book anyway.
Well, not knowing him that well, personally.
Yeah. I don't know personally, but you look at the way he plays, it's all mercurial talent. It's
He is an amazing player.
He's, I don't think he's ever exercised that much of a leadership role in the team. So.
I very much hope that he comes up to scratch again by the time the World Cup comes around.
It would be nice to have him for the World Cup.
But
we don't have any shortage of quality backs in the Australian team. It's the forwards that are the problem. It'd be nice to have him.
Well, speaking of problem forwards, shall we move on to New South Wales and their Dunning injury?
They had a Dunning injury.
Yeah. Well, he got hurt against the Brumbies in the first preseason.
Oh, did he? How badly hurt was he?
Hurt his neck. Eight weeks, I think.
Was it neck?
Well, that's the best news the Waratah fans have had.
Knee, that's right, because he couldn't hold himself up in the scrum again, I think it was.
No, it was a pre-game pie.
Yes. Too many pies. Couldn't hold himself up.
I think it's the best thing that can happen to New South Wales. I think he's a liability at any time, and sure, a few years ago he scored a few tries because he was sitting
and
on
a
the
field
wing.
Goal.
Yeah, and a field goal that lost them the place in the finals. I don't think he's ever been
Let's face it, the Tars did really well last year up until the finals where they screwed themselves again.
But they've lost their mungos.
That's the question. What's going to happen to them this season?
Well, they've lost one mungo and the other two mungos are heading out the door, so they're not going to be great role models around
no.
the club.
Now, is Lottie leaving or is it still speculation?
I thought he was gone.
I was under the impression
This is his last season.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I thought Lottie was... From what I'd been reading, I thought Lottie was hanging around.
No, he's still piss-farting around, but he's not saying, I want to play this game, I want to be with this team.
I thought he'd signed up with the Gold Coast team.
That's Rogers, I think.
That's Rogers.
No, they're both going to
Titans. Yeah, they could be. All I'm saying is that even if he's still piss-farting around, hasn't actually signed on the dotted line, someone saying, oh, if you pay me enough, I'll hang about, isn't going to be building your club in any significant way.
But they were a dominant force last year. Are they going to be that again this year?
No, I don't think so. I think the Mungo effect is going to be quite severe with them all heading out the door one way or another, having screwed up their junior development programs.
But they've got a few good players coming through. Beal and the ex-Brumby Sam Milton Knight.
They've got good players. I think they're past their high watermark.
Well, a lot's been said about Beal, and I'm skeptical, I suppose.
We always hear about Waratah Great White Hopes.
Well, no, to me, it's very similar to the spin that was given to Henjak when he first came out.
That mostly came out of the ACT rather than the Sydney media.
No, but that's what I mean. For me, Beal might be the Sydney version of Henjak, and he might be inspirational, but it's going to take him many years before he's actually useful.
I don't think some spotty face kid is going to inspire the rest of the Waratahs team.
That's not quite what I meant. I meant like do some inspirational play, pull off some amazing stuff. But a couple of runs don't win games. Yeah. It's good defence. It's all that sort of stuff.
I think the Waratahs will be lucky to make the top half of the conference season. Big call. I think they're shot guards.
Well,
I think Ewan McKenzie should have taken the Wallabies gig and gotten out of there and let someone else come in. He's been there a while now. He's done everything he can do to change it.
I'm not sure if that's a big call, John. Several of the mainstream media rugby commentators have also been saying similar things, saying the lower half, the lower areas of the top half.
Mm. I'll say they'll still make it to the top half. Whether or not they make the finals, not sure. Mm. I have reservations about their ability to follow up what they did last year. But then again, I can't stand them anyway.
Well, I suppose it comes down now to the ones that we really actually care about.
The Brumbies.
I think the Brumbies this season look stronger than they have in a great many seasons.
Why is that strong enough?
Well, it's been strong enough to win before, and I think then
as long as we're going to start selling off home games in Fortress Canberra.
I think Huxley is a major addition to the team at this point in his career.
Bad luck Reds. You had him for a little while, but
we've stolen him back.
Yep. I think he's better for his time at the Reds, where he was in a leadership role because there was the rest of the team. There was nothing there.
That's a good point. Even though we all thought he was a traitor when he left.
Yeah. Well, he's come back, so he's forgiven.
Barely.
If you're listening, Matt, we can open our arms should you choose to return
after you see the error of your ways.
look, I think Huxley is at this point a major addition to the team. I think Fanafau in the Australian Provincial Championship showed himself to be an absolutely electric game breaker.
I really enjoyed watching the Provincial Championship. Yeah. A couple of games that I was able to see in Canberra.
I think
that
players like Heenan are going to be stronger for
Heenan's another one to look out for, as long as he can not get injured.
I think Jeremy Paul in his last season is
I think he's going to take on a big leadership role and just go out there and prove to everybody
he is.
And that he should be picked for the World Cup. Now, speaking of some nobody else has done any better than him.
The retiring Brumbies, like Larkham, Jeremy Paul, Gregan. I actually think that the resting...
over the winter, over the summer, our summer.
Yeah, but no, also what the ARU said in resting them in training, reducing their game time, all that sort of stuff, all the first few games.
Well, given that they're all very old, it will help.
I think it's probably going to be a great thing for the Brumbies in many ways. Mm-hmm. In that, one, these guys are probably going to come out fresher and better for this season than they have in many seasons.
Yeah.
But also, it's going to allow the younger guys, as we saw in the provincial championships, to have these guys around, still give them a lot of training, a lot of leadership, a lot of inspiration, but allow these younger guys to have a lot of game time.
Yeah.
And put them under a lot of pressure. So, although I'm not sure if it's going to give dividends this year for the Brumbies, I think it's probably going to pay off over the next two or three.
Yeah, I feel a lot more comfortable about the Brumbies. Their pre-season form wasn't great, but Brumbies' pre-season form is never indicative of their...
No, because it's when you're sitting all your major players and giving your younger players a bit of a hit out.
And you're trying silly game plans, and if they work, you keep them, and otherwise you throw them away. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons not to worry too much about pre-season. I think the provincial championship showed that the Brumbies, and particularly the way they dealt with the Tars in that competition, shows that the Brumbies are going to be a really big force this year.
Well, I'd like to think so as well.
Anyway, top four finish for me. I'm not predicting the winner of the comp because this.
I am.
Yeah.
And a top four finish too.
Okay. Brumbies all the way, huh?
I'll
Brumbies are the way.
I'll back a top four, okay. But I'm not going to back a final.
The now, big question.
One thing I wanted to raise about the Brumbies, they're offering half season memberships, which is something I've never seen before.
Well, isn't the first half of the season?
I'll take a half season membership of the home games, thanks very much.
Yes.
The other half can be the away
season membership. So, I mean, it was one of my birthday presents, actually. So, I'm going to the last three home games.
So, you're able to choose which home games you're going to?
They pick them, and it's three pretty grotty games. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, if it's the end of the season,
they're calling
it
the high game battle or something stupid like that.
Aren't we playing the Waratahs at home in this?
No.
Easter.
It doesn't include the Waratahs game, but I can probably pay
which
for
it. It's on a Sunday afternoon, which
I'm
is really
an accredited
stupid.
Member for the game, to the members bar after the game, so that's exciting.
Did you get your little key ring?
I'm going to get a cap. I don't know about a key ring.
We've got key rings. I have no idea what for.
Just your keys on.
Well, I have got that already, but they say it's a unique number and then it can be identified with it. I'm saying, well...
I don't want to be identified, you fascists!
Exactly!
Don't most clubs have membership tags on their key rings that can win meat trades?
Yeah, if they had a licensed club. Where are they going to
sort out?
They
do have a licensed club.
It's in Griffith.
It's not that shitty. It's not that small. Yeah. It's a long way away for you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For me and for Rob. Yeah. But it's not that small. It's not that shitty.
I guess we're in the bar they generally go to anyway. And we're already here. Hooray. So, Brumbies to win from Rob, top four from Nick, top four from me. We're going to break for a song and then we'll be back with tips for the next round.
Hooray.
Everybody's dream to eat fast food every night. When I listen to
frequency. Give me quantity over quality. Jukebox hits Saturday nights. Greyhound races in the talk back. Don't you
gonna want me back? You're gonna want me back. Get expensive takeaway from the cheap shit I usually eat. And I'll pretend I'm a pair with you between athletes and a sheep. You're gonna want me back. You're gonna want me back.
First up, round one, this weekend, Blues versus Crusaders in Auckland. Both teams missing their rollbacks players.
In Auckland?
I don't think that's going to make that big a difference unless they start throwing cold pies again.
No, well, they won't throw the cold pies at the players anyway.
Which team is missing more players?
I'm guessing the Crusaders.
I think it'll be a very new run thing. I still think the Crusaders are a better team and they have more practice at playing in Auckland than most other sides do. So
again,
I'll
get back to the point of
You got me down for the Blues.
That's what you said.
I'd said the Blues.
Yes.
Oh,
changing mind.
Yeah. No, I'll stick with the tip that I've written down.
Good.
It's going to be a close game.
Yes. Well, I'm going the Crusaders because I want to win this season. Tim's going for the Crusaders. Katina's going for the Crusaders.
I am also going for the Crusaders.
Why? Why are you going for the Crusaders?
Now, I must admit, I've wrote out my tips on a very spur of the moment.
Stop making excuses for your slipshod nature and justify your decision.
It was gut.
Okay.
And quite honestly, although I do think the Blues have got some ability, the Crusaders are just nasty.
For this game, I'd just like to say, blue sucks, red rules. Thanks very much. And Ben's going for the Blues.
I'm with Ben, huh?
Have you also picked the Highlanders?
Alright, what's the next game?
The next game is the Force versus the Highlanders in Perth, which everybody's...
It's going to be 100 degrees centigrade and all their equipment will melt.
And just not only this, we've just got to remember that when WA at the last minute decided to put go to daylight savings back on the 1st of December last year, all these games had to change their times so that they wouldn't get broadcasting changed overlaps between.
So it's being played closer to the middle of the day.
No, it's being
played later at night.
It's being played at the same time, but that means they had to change the other games. That were being played in the eastern states.
Wouldn't they just move the stupid bastards' times?
Because that wouldn't work.
Hey, here's a question: Brumbies versus Chiefs is being played at 7:45 our time.
Mm-hmm.
That means they must be starting the game at 9 o'clock in New Zealand.
Are you sure about that? I think it might be 7:35 local time. So it'll be 5:30 our time.
Oh, okay. Because normally they put the our time on those things.
No, they always put local time.
Ah, yes. Okay, so it'll be like 5 in the afternoon here.
Anyway,
okay.
Force versus Highlanders. John, you've gone Force.
I've gone the Force?
Yes.
I think the Highlanders are a better team on a neutral pitch, but they're playing in Perth and it is January. For God's sake. Okay, it'll be February by then, but only by a couple of days. It's going to be too hot. And it's going to be too hot for guys who come from Antarctica.
Or the closest place to it.
To it.
Well, for that reason, I'm also going the Force. Even though, the git, the traitor, and the bad haircuts aside, yeah, I'm still going for it.
I must admit that I'm also going for the Force, but it's not for the heat reasons, although they're very, very valid reasons. I actually feel that the Force is going to be a much better team this year, and they drew with the Crusaders last year. They really picked up in the latter half of the season. I see them, they've picked up a couple of good buys over the off-season as well.
Well, they have all the money in the world, which helps as well.
I think they've also got probably the most support of any team in Australia for... More than us.
I dispute that.
I've got friends over in... over in Western Australia.
Not per capita, but absolute numbers.
Yeah, absolute numbers. And they're more fanatical than anyone I've ever met.
Okay,
that's because they're converts.
No, I think it's not because they're converts, because it's full of South Africans, Kiwis, and Englishmen.
No, they actually say Perth is now full of Eastern Staters, so they obviously couldn't be bothered learning how to watch Aussie rules, so they've decided they're going to support
Union over there. Rugby is the next best thing.
Yes, because there's no league over there. Anyway.
Thank God for that. Half the country is safe.
So Timbo's going the Force, assuming the same reason. Katina, being the odd one out, is going for the Highlanders.
Not the only odd one out.
Right. Nico's going the Force, and Ben is also going for the Highlanders.
Oh dear.
He's a one-eyed Highlander supporter.
He is a bit of a way back
then. We can't be helped. There is no known cure.
Okay, the Lions, the new team, the would-be new team, versus the Waratahs in Joburg.
What did I tip? I tip the Lions.
You tip the Lions?
Yes, Waratah hatred. They'll be rusty at the start of the season. Plus, it's in Johannesburg, for God's sake.
I don't think it'll be...
on the veld.
It's not as high, I don't think.
It's not as high as Loftus, but Johannesburg is still high up.
And Rob, yourself?
I'm going the Tar, as much as it pains me, but...
After your humiliation last season, you really wanted to try and get ahead, huh?
No, well, we were all within striking range at the end of last season. So, but I'm picking to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, except where the Brumbies are concerned, in which case I'll always go for them, and cursing you all for not going for them.
Right.
So I'm going the Tars. Timbo's going the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Katina's going the Pussycats.
Right.
Being the Lions.
Now, what did she write?
Pussies.
Yes.
So it could be either, really.
Which is why it wasn't Pansy, so I thought it wasn't the Tar.
Pussies v Pansies. They should have built a game like that.
Oh, dear.
Okay, you're going?
I'm going the Tars.
Yes. And Ben is also going the Lions.
The kiss of death has been delivered. Go, you Waratah.
Okay, the next game is, well, it's not much real of a real contention here. It's the Chiefs versus the Brumbies in the bright lights of Hamilton.
Having said that, there won't be any contention in our tipping, but there may be some contention in the outcome of the game.
The effect of Cowtown, which is almost the reverse effect of Cape Town.
But luckily enough for us, Canberra, the Brumbies don't get affected by the dull lights of Cowtown.
Yes, that's true. They're used to the dull lights of Canberra already.
Hamilton is the
happy hunting ground.
It is. Is
now, I could be wrong
here. Even though Possum with his chainsaw hanging out the back might be revving the crowd up. I think the Brumbies have still got it.
I could be wrong here, but if my memory serves me right, which it doesn't usually, I think one of our props, Guy Shepherdson, actually played in Cowtown for the NPC side that he was signed to before he joined the Brumbies.
Really? So he'll show them the wild side and it'll turn into Cape Town for them. It's all going horribly wrong.
I'm not sure if Sheppo is much of a wild child.
The wild side of Hamilton.
Yeah,
I know some crazy nurses from Hamilton. His dad fires both his guns at passing aircraft.
They're not ones I drank with in England.
Yeah, they were scary, weren't they?
Oh, very dear. Anyway.
John, you're going...
Brumbies.
I'm going Brumbies, just for a change. Tim, the traitor, is going the Chiefs. Well,
you know, that's the only reason why he didn't turn up this afternoon.
Yeah, we
would have strung him up.
He had some pathetic excuse about his wife going somewhere and his baby. I don't know. It didn't make any sense at all.
People with children.
Yeah. They're just unreliable.
Katina's going the Brumbies.
I'm going the Brumbies.
And Ben is also going the Brumbies.
The kiss of death.
So Tim's going to be the only one who's getting any points on that one.
Not a chance. All right. Next up, we have the Reds versus the Hurricanes. Okay, again, in heat, but it's the Reds. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's the Reds.
But it's the Hurricanes.
Last year's grand finalists didn't win, but they're also missing lots of All Blacks players. Yep.
And the Reds are missing next to none.
No, the Reds have no talent to work.
So the
Reds are just pathetic. I went the Hurricanes. Sure the Hurricanes are up against it in Queensland, but... it's the Reds.
I look forward to the resurgence of Queensland rugby at some stage.
One day, maybe. Not in our lifetime.
I might have grandchildren by then, but yeah.
But I think there'll be a coalition government in Queensland before their rugby team improves.
Tim's going the Canes. Katina's going the Canes.
I'm going the Canes.
And so has Ben.
Is that a sweep for the Canes?
That's a sweep for the Canes.
I think they're in trouble now.
All right. Home derby, Sharks versus Bulls in Durban.
A game you would only watch to see people injured.
Yes. Lots and lots of beefy men running at each other and smacking their heads together. It's going to be great fun.
So, who did I tip?
You've gone the Sharks. Home team advantage.
Yep.
I'm going the Bulls because they are much more impressive at the end of last season and during the Curry Cup. Timbo's gone the Bulls as well. Katina is Bulls.
I've gone the Bulls once again for consistency's sake.
And
Kiss
John,
of Death is with me.
Kiss of Death is with you, John. Ben has gone the Sharks.
Mm. Right.
Cheetahs and versus Stormers and Bloemfontein, another home derby.
Yeah. They're really trying to get the South Africans interested at the start of this competition with this draw, aren't they? Before they fall off their inevitable demise in the second half.
When really they should be taking the Australian viewpoint of bringing everybody over in the heat and making them play at altitude and heat.
Mm.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you know.
There is some...
they have got the Waratahs.
There is some logic against that. Like, if they play their warm-up games against other South African teams, at least some South Africans are winning.
That's right. They'll have
got their stride by the time they actually have to play people they need to beat.
Yeah, well, the basic point is they just want some South Africans to be near the top of the team, top of the table, around the halfway mark of the comp. That would make a pleasant change as far as South Africans are concerned.
JB, you're going the...
Cheetahs, it's at home.
No, it is at home for the Cheetahs.
Bloemfontein?
I'm going for the Cheetahs as well, just because I think they're a better team, and I don't like the Stormers. Timbo's going the Cheetahs.
And they're missing Bob Skinstad as well. Yeah. Well, they haven't even selected him. He's available. I haven't selected him. Ah.
Tim's going the Cheetahs. Katina's going the Cheetahs.
I'm
Nico?
Also going to the Cheetahs.
And
why are you going with the Cheetahs?
I like them. I don't
you
really
like have... big, fat, stupid forwards.
No, I like their game at the
I like Oz Durant going out for his 100th game. I want to see him score a try during it.
I think he got two
last year. Honestly,
even when they were losing, I enjoyed watching their games. I thought that they were trying stuff.
Mm.
Not necessarily their forwards, but their backs. I actually found them probably one of the more exciting back lines of what was, well, definitely out of the South African teams, but perhaps in the entire competition.
Mm.
And Benno's going the Stormers, so
we might actually get some points.
Well, it's a question of, it's going to be a split round for between everyone else and Benno.
And me.
Benno could be coming out in front quite easily.
He could be, he could well be.
First round of Super 14 this year, but they're always a bugger to pick until you get a feel for the season.
Well, folks, I think that pretty much wraps it up for tonight.
Yep, thank you for listening through the end of this dribble. We appreciate it.
And we'll be back next week.
Possibly with some better informed opinions, having some actual rugby to base them on.
And just so if you don't realise that Channel 10 is televising all the Australian games at some stage over the weekend.
Will they be on time?
No.
Not live. Okay.
No,
so you still need to watch Fox if you want to watch them live.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And if you have any comments to make or tips you want to send in, send them to rugby@the-rightact.com. And good night.
Good night.